May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do please be seated. So we are celebrating today the feast of the presentation of Christ in the temple. This feast actually is properly celebrated on February the 2nd, but it's transferred usually to the previous Sunday so that we can celebrate it on a Sunday. Now, those of you who come from the United States of America cannot tell me what else is celebrated on the February the 2nd. No? Groundhog Day, right? Groundhog Day, February the 2nd, Punxsutawney Phil. This is not unrelated, for Punxsutawney Phil started life in Germany, where German pilgrims brought the tradition over to the States that if on the feast of the presentation of Christ in the temple, a hedgehog cast a shadow, then there would be a second winter. But if it didn't, then spring had finally come. This has got absolutely nothing to do with today's sermon. But so that's just a freebie, right? That's where Groundhog Day comes from. It's connected with the Feast of the Presentation as it was celebrated in Germany before those pilgrims went to America. But also another tradition arose around the presentation of Christ in the temple, which is why it's also called Candlemas. So its proper title, Feast of the Presentation of Christ in the Temple. Popular name, Candlemas. And the reason for that is that over the centuries when this particular occasion in the scriptures, in the Gospels, has been celebrated, people used to come to church with their own candles. They would come to church with their candles and the priest would bless those candles, and then they would take them home and light them in their homes to remind them that Jesus is the light of the world. And that very much is connected with our readings today. For when Simeon takes the boy Jesus in his arms, he says, "Here is the light to enlighten the Gentiles." And that's the promise to us, that Jesus is the light of the world. Now, we have not asked you to bring your own candles to be blessed, although actually, when I think about it, that wouldn't have been such a bad idea. But what we have done is given each of you a candle and a little splatter thingy so you don't get drops of hot wax on your hand. And there will be, towards the end of the service, I will ask you to light those candles. I will light the ones at the beginning, and then our service and acolytes will come and light your candles too, and you can pass the light on to others. And then we will have a little kind of epiphany liturgy at the end of our service, which is all about that, about Jesus being the light of the world. And at the end of that liturgy, I will ask you to blow those candles out. And as you blow those candles out, I want you to think of this. Not that the candle has gone out, but that it has been blown into the very heart of you and there continues to burn through the rest of the year. For this is the deep truth that we have, that Jesus is the light of the world, not out there, not shining from heaven alone, but shining out through our own eyes. Jesus is known as the light of the world through his pilgrim people. Jesus is alive and lightens our hearts. And as that light shines through our words and actions and deeds, our prayers, our faith, people see. They begin to see clearly what we see as Jesus shines in the very heart of us. The truth is, of course, that this light is shining right now, right in the center of who you are. So why doesn't it feel like that sometimes? Why does it feel like God is so far away and that things are very, very dark? St. Teresa of Avila spoke about this. Here's a quote from her. She said this: "The fountainhead that shines like the sun from the center of the soul never loses its radiance. It is ever present within the soul, and nothing can diminish its beauty. Why then do we have such a convincing sense of living in darkness and obscurity? Because, she says, the wild beasts of our wild thoughts make the soul close her eyes to everything but them. And so there is within the heart of us also a conflict of attention and awareness. There is all the things that our minds do, all the thoughts and the feelings that come and go and afflict us. Something happens and we feel really low. Something else happens, oh, we suddenly feel happy. We are so unstable when it comes to our thoughts and feelings. But deep underneath, at the heart of you, underneath all of that coming and going and changing, there is the light of Christ, the permanent presence of Jesus right at the heart of you. And this is always radiant, always stable. But our attention too often is on the flickering thoughts and changing emotions rather than on this deep truth of who we are. How then do we shift our attention? It really is all about the awareness that comes in prayer. It's about the discipline of attention. As we sit in prayer, one of the things that we do is not just gabble to God, oh God, please give me this, and oh, so-and-so needs that, and oh, by the way, we'd just like to mention such and such, and then when we finish asking, we get up and go. No. Praying is as much about listening and being attentive as it is about talking. Yes, we bring to mind the deep things in our hearts that we want to ask God for, but we also wait. We wait and listen to God, become aware of God, and not only of God but of ourselves, because as we attempt to become aware of God, we also become aware of all of those thoughts and feelings that I've just been talking about. But here's the difference. Instead of having thoughts and feelings, we become aware of them. And we become aware of them, as it were, from a distance. Instead of being afflicted by them, instead of identifying them, thinking that our thoughts and feelings are ourselves, because they're not us. They're just stuff that we have. They're a mental event that passes so quickly. The real truth about the core of who we are is that we are one with Christ, and he is there illuminating us. And so comes the slow daily discipline of being in that place of prayer and quiet, where we shift and turn our attention from all of the stuff that afflicts our mind and heart and turn it again and again towards the presence of Christ within us. As we do this, Saint Hesychios says, I bet you haven't heard of him before, Saint Hesychios identifies three moments in this process whereby in which awareness becomes increasingly ungrasping, expansive and luminous. He says this: while we are being strengthened in Christ Jesus and beginning to move forward in steadfast watchfulness, he at first appears in our intellect like a torch, which, when grasped by the hand of the intellect, guides us along the tracks of the mind. Then he appears to us like a full moon, circling the heart's firmament. Then he appears to us like the sun, radiating justice, clearly revealing himself in the full light of spiritual vision. So, St. Teresa's right, the illumination of Christ is radiant in the heart of us. That is so right now, and it never changes. But our attentiveness and awareness of this fact is gradual. First of all, like a dim torch. And as we persist in daily prayer and attention and steadfastness with God, it becomes brighter and brighter because our awareness is much more clear about what's really there and becomes like a moon. But eventually, as we persist in this, becomes like the sun, and we're always aware of the glory of God which is within. I don't know where you are on that pilgrimage, but please take the next steps, for Christ is in the heart of you, the light of the world. All you've got to do is daily shift your attention to that place where he is. Amen. We have an anthem. I forgot. We do.